Welcome to the Smarter Roofer Podcast.
Join twin brothers Elias and Matt Raber,
along with co-host Owen Schrock, as we share current marketing, sales, business, and life strategies to help you grow your commercial roof coating business. Let's dive in.
Before we get into the real topic, let's talk a little bit about the idea of Smarter Roofer Podcast versus what we had in the past.
A year and a half. That's kind of a long...
Two and a half years. March 2022.
Wow. It doesn't seem like we last sat here 2.5 years ago.
Some things happened since then, and we're going to talk about that. But in the past, we went with Ethical Sales Podcast, mm-hmm. and the idea behind that was a very narrow topic, sales. Well, the reality is there's a lot more topics that should be covered in mm-hmm. business life. You know, there's a lot of things that happen, so... that's why we're rebranding to Smarter Roofer Podcast, just helping contractors become smarter and run their business better.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of things that has happened over the last 2.5 years. Just like everybody that's listening here, you know, there's a lot of water that goes under the bridge every year. We live in a world that's ever changing. I'm going to say for me, you know, there's good and there's bad. And unfortunately, there's some bad for me that stands out more than the good. I've been fighting Lyme disease for the last year, and it's been the hardest, darkest thing that I've ever went through, waking up every day with a headache and having to deal with it and having to go find solutions for it and spending time away from home just trying to get better. And I'm in a lot better position today than I had been, say, 6 months ago, but I'm still fighting with it, and I do feel better than I did. However, I'm not completely over it, so I continue to work on it and to get better and do the right things and make the right choices. So that's just, you know, one thing for me. But, you know, on the positive side, you know, life keeps on. And, you know, we've said for years, especially in our business and in the Conklin business and the beauty part of what we have built in the past, the teams that we've put together in the past, they've continued to support us even during that year. I haven't put a crazy amount into my team in the last year just because I felt like I didn't have that much to put into it because of the dark time that I went through, and it's still there today. So we're back on our feet and we're keeping on keeping on. So that's a little catch up from myself over maybe the last 1 year.
There's also this thing of getting into the rut of everyday life. Yep. You know, it's just you're living life every day. And then there's highlights along the way. I know for us, probably one of the major changes in the last 2.5 years, our daughter getting married. That's a new step for myself.
And you're a grandpa now.
And a grandpa, yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
I have a granddaughter already. So that's definitely... I don't feel like I'm older, but I know I'm older. I mean, the calendar says I'm older. I don't feel a lot older. Actually, I feel better now than I have for last year, probably. Matt mentioned... you know, going through health challenges. So I didn't really have a health challenge, but went onto a carnivore diet.
Wow.
And so eating a lot of beef.
So how's that going for you?
Going pretty good. Down about 16 pounds
really?
In 2 months.
Yeah, you're
time.
Looking pretty good.
Still got a little bit to go.
You're about ready to start wearing those muscle t-shirts pretty soon.
Tighten up the belt another notch and ready to go back to Salvation Army and buy back those old pants, you know?
You know, if we're going to rebrand this, the name of this podcast, I'm thinking maybe Two Dads and a Grandpa would be a good name.
Now you're making me feel real old. I mean, some positive changes there for sure.
Yeah, I mean, our family's just growing. We have, LaVon's 14 years old now, and our youngest is 8, and they're all in school. And yeah, we've done a lot of traveling over the last 2 years. We've done a lot of traveling. I mean, we try to do, you know, trips with the children, and especially during our summer break. And just trying to, you know, you try to balance business life priorities over the last year and a half. And I won't talk about it a whole lot on this podcast because I think we want to talk about it in a future podcast. But I helped my brother-in-law, Tony, start a business, a roofing company, and I own half of that company. And so I've been spending a lot of time on the road with him and really learning again how challenging it is to start something from the ground up. You know, over the years, we've had a lot of people ask or tell me, man, I wish starting our roofing business was as easy as it was for you guys. But truth is, those first 3-4 years, nobody knew Elias and Matthias. We were just out there grinding it and starting a business. And now the last year and a half, I've been doing it with my brother-in-law, Tony. And I can say I honestly enjoy it. Like, I really enjoy going out there, meeting new customers, and just helping him build a business. But it does take a lot of time. And so, you know, balancing life with your family and your business and all that. And I very strongly believe that at the end of the day, the most important thing is, you know, obviously God in your life and having that right every day, you know, taking time and having that family life. I mean, how many business people do you know of? Just in the last couple of years, I've had multiple conversations with guys that have built very successful businesses and went through a divorce. And it was because they didn't take the time to prioritize what really is important. I can't stress enough how important it is to take time with your children, with your family, with your wife, and doing some of the things that you enjoy. And it might not look like a big expensive trip. It might just be dinner at home around the table together every night, or whatever that looks like, or taking your kids to the park, or just spending a weekend with your kids. But I know we've been trying to balance that life, having raising children and realizing that in another 8-9 years, I mean, you know, our life probably could look very different.
It won't be that long.
I mean, yeah, Levon's 14.
Calling your grandpa but here before
our, in 8 years, our youngest to be 16. Life goes on, and we're super blessed. And
yeah, I think that's a good reminder to, you know, catch those moments while you're, you know, in the grind. While you're in the grind, we have to take advantage of those moments with family and the important things in life. For
yeah,
sure.
You don't get to, like, hit the pause button on the business or on the family. Like, and so you have to learn this balance, right? And I've really become aware the last couple of years, so there's four of us that bought a 100 acres together, and we developed a handful of Airbnbs around a small private lake that we bought. And that property took a lot more time than what we anticipated it would take, and money. Because anytime, and you know, and it's the same way in the new roofing business that we're starting, is anytime you take something new on, anytime there's a win somewhere, there's always a loss somewhere else. And that loss might just look like time with your kids. The other side of that is, don't go be lazy either. When they're in school, go work your butt off. But it is really nice to be able to be there when, you know, they come home from school, or maybe even help them get on the bus or whatever. Be a good dad. Finding that balance and prioritizing those things is super important. And I do think that maybe through COVID, there's a lot of things that happened through that period that maybe derailed a little bit of some of the reasons that we didn't sit here for the last 2.5 years doing a podcast. I mean, we couldn't do a roofing event for, what, a year or two? You know, we didn't do an event at the shop for a while because our governor said you can't. And so there's some things that anytime you slow the wheel down, it does take energy and effort to get that wheel going again. And so I feel like, you know, we're there. We're pushing that wheel harder today than what I am. I'm pushing it harder than I did the past few years. I know that there was a time that we kind of sit back a little bit and enjoy the money coming in from the work that you did in the past. And that is the beauty, like you talked about, Matt, is that is the beauty part of Conklin, is you can go out and build a really nice team, help other people be successful. And along that way, you become successful. And so that's a really nice part of having a Conklin team.
I've heard recently that the flywheel, you want to get that thing moving fast because it has momentum.
Yep.
Once it's moving, you have that momentum. But someone told me that if it slows down, the more it slows down, it actually gains momentum in slowing down, which to me was a new thought. And so I think, and we're going to talk about this some in another episode here shortly, about, you know, the next 4 years or the next eight years or 12 years, you know, what are some things we can do to take advantage of the momentum going in the right direction?
With going through what I mentioned, I feel like I have learned, or I would try to encourage individuals, if you're going through a struggle, which if you haven't, unless you die, I promise you, you will. It's so easy to hate on that struggle. It's so easy to be one to want to get rid of that struggle. And don't get me wrong, I prayed countless amount of times for myself to just be healed. And it didn't instantly happen. and I'm not completely over it. It gradually, I got feel like I'm getting better. But I have actually learned so much from the struggle that it actually kind of helped me become, I don't know, a different person, maybe more spiritually than it did physically. And honestly, I wouldn't want to go back to understanding things the way that I did a year or two ago, but I also don't want to go through the struggle again. So I just want to encourage you, if you're going through a struggle, whatever it is, embrace that struggle, because that struggle is designed to make you who God wants you and intends you to be. Go find me anybody that has what you want, and I guarantee you that they went through some really hard things to get to there. So I just want to encourage you with that. The struggle is designed to make you stronger. It will make you better, or it will make you bitter.
The struggle is where you really learn who you are, if you actually take time to listen and consider what you're going through.
Mm-hmm. And I guess I've talked to a lot of people, and you could pretty much walk up to any individual at any given time and just say, I feel like you're going through something. And they'd say, yeah, I am. And they'd open up and tell you what it is, because we're always going through something. You always have something you wish was different. It's just the way it works. I mean, yeah, there might be times in your life where it feels like everything's going perfectly, but I guarantee you, where everything is going perfectly, you're also not growing like you should be or could be, because it's in that low point and you're pushing through that I 100% believe the biggest life lessons come out of. And I don't know, I think God designed it that way.
They say diamonds get made under pressure, extreme pressure, mm-hmm. and such is life too.
Yep. So we did a trip this summer with the children. We went to an area that we'd never been before, and that was the Pacific Northwest. So we went northwest U.S., pretty much as far as you could go. I mean, we were on a beach on the very northwest corner of the U.S. We flew into, Spokane. We spent, I don't know, probably close to a week over there. We went to the park. There's a couple different parks there.
How was the weather up there? Foggy and
rainy? Yeah, very foggy. I think every day it rained, like in the afternoon.
Wow.
It actually is like, I wouldn't want to live there, but it's beautiful to be there. It's like moody feel. Ferns.
Doesn't sound much different than around here. Rain every other afternoon. Foggy. Sounds familiar.
So that was cool.
Like, northwestern Pennsylvania.
That was cool. We like hiked in a couple different rainforests. And I mean, there's ferns there that are like as tall as you are, and huge cedar trees. And it's a beautiful place to go to. And it was just, you know, a lot of times we end up going to Montana or Colorado or somewhere like that. Or we've been to the Smokies, I don't know how many times, you know, over the years. Or we go to Florida. And this year we were like, let's go to the Pacific Northwest. There's a lot of waterfalls. We hiked into some really pretty waterfalls. It's a very wet country. It's the wettest in all of the United States. There's a couple rainforests in the U.S. I'm not sure. It's one of the only few rainforests in the U.S. And so we did that. I always try to have some bow tags, archery tags throughout West. And this year, Deb and I did something that we haven't done. I don't know. I guess we've never done this before, but we took a tent and we just went out on public land. It took me 6 years, but this year I drew a really good elk tag in central Montana. I drew the same tag in 2018 and killed a really nice bull in there. And then this year, Deb and I just took a tent and we just went on public land and we set the tent up and we had a super nice accommodations we found back under some pine trees, and we just made tent and like we hung a shower up in the trees. And, you know, it was very primitive. And we were like, we're going to do this for a week if we have to. I didn't want to come out of there without a bull. And we got super fortunate. The first night we glassed about 4 or 5 miles back in and we found a bunch of elk. And so the next morning we hiked about an hour and a half in the dark and got back in there before the elk cut back in there. And I mean, it was like everything you dream about. You know, the first morning we found the bull coming off the fields and we just got ahead of him. I mean, most of the bulls I've ever killed, we called in. This one, we never made a sound. We watched them drop into a coulee and we just headed them off. We got down the same coulee a couple hundred yards past him, and he came by at 20 yards the very first morning, big 6x6. I put an arrow in him and he ran 20 seconds and went over. And we were close to 4 miles from our tent. And so, and that was also almost on the road. And the closest we could get to a road was about 3 miles from that bull. And so we packed, we had to do three trips, just her and I. I mean, you have to cut them up right there in the field. We hustled all the meat and everything into trees, and the closest trees were half a mile away. Luckily, they were the right direction. And so I'm at 6:46 in the morning, and it was probably 1 o'clock before we got him in, hung in the trees, like everything butchered and hung in the trees. And then we, for a day and a half, we packed meat, and we did. We had to do three trips in and out.
I call that Raber luck, right?
I when you do it enough, sometime it works out like super simple. I mean, most of the times, you know, people look at, people don't see, it's just like anything. People don't see how hard it is. We were packing meat, and yeah, it was easy. This hunt was relatively easy, but I'm also being really honest. Most people wouldn't have been 4 miles back in there at daybreak. Yeah. You just learn over the years how to do something. When you do it enough, you get better at it. And then we took the meat to a butcher after we got out, and then we had 3 days of waiting on meat to get processed. And so I still had a buck tag, and so we just hit the hills and found a really nice muley buck up in the burn. And it was my only stalk I got in 4 days of hunting on a buck. It's the only big buck we saw in public land. Stalked him and on a really nasty wind. It was like 30 mile an hour winds and rain sideways. And I got into bow range and shot him.
Getting goosebumps.
So that was like, we left on Friday and we got back on Friday a week later with a bull and a buck, all public land. Like we did stay in a hotel a couple nights when we were waiting on the meat, but you know, just staying out on public land and working really hard. And I told Deb, I'm like, we could just go like, to some resort and sit on the beach and get massages. And it's, you know, Ranello and Meat Eater, we were talking about Meat Eater earlier, and he would class it as, or say it's class two fun. You know, class one fun is like when you're having fun right now, like a roller coaster ride would be class one fun. And he's saying class two is like when you're doing it, you're going, why did we do this for vacation? But when you're away and you're on the way home or you get home, you go, I can't wait to go do it again. It was so difficult. It really was. It was hard. I mean, Deb, we were packing meat, and Deb was like, this is the hardest thing I've ever done. And I'm like, well, we have 4 children. That was probably the hardest thing you ever done. And she was like, physically, this is harder. I'm like, well, you just forgot how hard it is to have children.
Just got back from Colorado, 4 guys in 3 days, tagged out in 3 days. Would mm-hmm. you class that as class one fun or class two fun?
That was between class one and class two because we were hunting with rifles. And we were in an Airbnb, and we ate, like, really good every night. We'd go eat burgers.
I'd say we had class 1 days, and then we had class 2 days.
We did have a class, yeah. When David and I killed bulls or bucks back in, that was a class 2 day. That was hard. I mean, we were straight up and down. We went back in a couple miles through 15 inches of snow. That's, snow makes everything harder. We've been goofing off and doing some hunting, too.
I think it comes back to, you mentioned, you know, how the struggle, you appreciate the struggle after you're through the struggle, just like Matt mentioned, it's in the struggle that you learn, that you grow.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking back, you would never want to go through that again, but if you allow it to change your life. So I think that's a wrap for this episode. On the next episode, we're going to talk about a couple things you mentioned today. Hey there, commercial roofing pros. Save the date, March 13 and 14th, 2025. The Smarter Roofer Conference is coming your way. Get ready for 2 action-packed days of trainings and insights on the key ingredients of a successful business. Learn cutting-edge strategies, boost your sales tactics, and elevate your marketing game. But that's not all. Connect with fellow roofing business owners, meet top industry vendors, and have a ton of fun along the way. This is a must-attend event to take your commercial roof coating business to new heights. Save the date, March 13 and 14th, 2025. Let's build success together at the Smarter Roofer Conference.